Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, we're getting the week off right. Got a good crowd today.
Hey, this is going to be a fantastic show today. A little bit later in the program, we're going to hear from a gentleman with Smoothie King. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce digital marketer, STEAM educator, not STEM. So we got to get caught up on that.
That's next level.
That's right. And serial entrepreneur with Digital Envy. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Eric Sharp. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. Welcome. Thank you so much for having me on. Appreciate it.
Can you share a little bit about Digital Envy? What are you doing for folks?
Yeah, sure thing. So Digital Envy is a marketing company that I started about 5 or 6 years ago. And we went from being web designers into digital marketers. Basically, what that means is we help small and medium-sized businesses get seen on the internet.
Get seen on the internet?
That's right.
What about, I know being seen is important, but how about doing business on the internet?
Oh,
do you help them make money?
Of course. Of course. We definitely help people some of the tech side behind making money. It's always good to have those credit cards run through.
The ones are clear. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So now, how'd you get into this?
That's a great question. I originally started doing all this back in my heyday at the Savannah College of Art and Design.
Oh.
Back in Savannah, Georgia, and graduated in 2007 with a degree in advertising.
Oh, in advertising. So you went to SCAD not for the artsy-fartsy stuff? You went for the businessy stuff?
A little bit of both. I trust me. I took those artsy-fartsy classes, which still help me to this day. But I call myself kind of like a graphic designer hack. I mean, I try to take great designs done by some of my contractors and turn them into something my clients are willing to pay for.
So you're kind of able to mesh the art and commerce?
That's correct. That's right. You know, taking that design and the development, putting it together.
Because sometimes the designers get caught up on what looks cool and is clever and maybe not so much as that drives business.
Exactly. It may not be functional in the business world. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So what was it like going to SCAD? Did you enjoy that?
I did. I enjoyed going to SCAD in Savannah. It was, you know, really a dream come true for me being able to attend SCAD and coming from all the way from up north in Michigan, coming to a lot better weather was a big thing. But I think one of the most important things about going to SCAD is you get out of it what you put into it. And if you attend all the extra classes and all the extra sessions, you'll get a lot more out of it.
So now somewhere in your career, you got involved with kind of mentoring kids in STEM and STEAM now?
That's correct. So I had a kind of a deeper calling to educate children because I believe that all kids are born gifted. Mm-hmm. And it's our job as adults to mentor them and to teach them. And I use technology as my vehicle to help educate children.
Now, back in the day, STEM, back in the day, meaning just a few years ago, was science, technology, engineering, and math. Now it's evolved to STEAM. Can you talk a little bit about what that means and why you think this evolution is important?
So I think the evolution into STEAM, adding, you know, the letter A for art, that's really important because it is the combination of technology and development and design. Making things useful for the masses. That's extremely important. And I think adding creativity and creative problem solving to all of this is the most important thing.
So now, how do you kind of get involved with the children?
Sure. So the way that I've been involved recently is I've looked up local places such as the Decatur Makers. They're a phenomenal organization based out of Decatur. And they've been educating children for the past couple of years, a nonprofit organization that really help educate children and parents with STEAM education.
So you're looking for these opportunities groups to help them?
That's correct. So what I think some of my skill set working with organizations like these is I bring a knowledge of the tech side and a knowledge of, you know, what do we need to do to help educate these children and get them off on the right track?
And then do you have any examples of work you've done? with these groups?
Sure. So I started something back in Savannah, Georgia. I started something with a group called the Urban STEM Academy. And this was something that we did over summer, and it progressed into the school system. And we used something called Little Bits, which is a kind of like electronic Legos, if you will. You can mm-hmm. snap them together. And we started off just doing once a month programs for free. And then we built it into a paid program that we brought to the school system, and schools were willing to pay for it because they were looking for educators. They were looking for this to be in the school system. And that's being done right here in Atlanta, Georgia as well.
So you think of people like you that are kind of techie people that can really help this group?
I don't think there's a shortage of techie people, but I do think there's a shortage of educators who are willing to take the time after work or, you know, during a lunch right. break or something. Definitely a lot of weekend warriors out there. We need more tech educators to be a part of this.
And to engage the kids at a younger and younger age, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there are kids that are 5 years old that are working, you know, in STEAM education places right now.
Now, in your business, do you ever have a need to hire some of the people with these skills?
Absolutely. In fact, I've hired interns, and they've gone on to get better education and better mm-hmm. Jobs, most likely because of this style of education.
So now, in your day-to-day work at Digital Envy, what are you doing? Typically.
So my day-to-day work at Digital Envy, besides, you know, being chief trash taker-outer and so on, my day-to-day work is just following up with clients, making sure they're happy with what's going on, the occasional visit for a new mm-hmm. client. But I'm really focused on a lot of Facebook advertising, and I love going after and creating target markets. Mm-hmm. You know, this is one of the most important things for any business to have is that solid target market that they know.
So really kind of hone in on who that group is that you're serving.
Exactly, exactly. And even at some point, you create an avatar, and that's one specific person. Mm-hmm. So that every decision you make, whether it's a decision to advertise or a decision to create material, you think of that one person in mind.
Now, do you have a sweet spot in terms of, do you have an avatar for your business?
Absolutely. An avatar for my business is a cash flow positive startup right here mm-hmm. in Atlanta.
And then it doesn't matter the industry?
It does. So in the recent years, I've niched marketed a little bit more. So I work with financial technology, medical technology, and business coaches.
So like, let's talk about business coaches, for example. How would you serve, what's a need, a business coach? What pain are they having where they're like, you know, we got to call these Digital Envy folks?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of business coaches have talent for being up in front of audiences, but they need to get butts in seats. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is they need people who are interested in their services or interested in their valuable content, but they don't know when the next event is. So my job is to go out and to find some of these prospective people who are interested in whatever these business coaches are selling, and to get their butt in a seat at their next event.
And it might be to be a butt in a seat for an event, but it might also be to download a white paper or to buy some thought leadership.
Exactly. And that's one of the first steps of going into, you know, the funnel for any mm-hmm. of these business coaches is to get that freebie out there. You actually work backwards. So you take whatever the big item is that they're selling at the end of what they're trying to do. Sometimes it's a big package. Sometimes it's, you know, services. You know, they might have a one-year program that they sell mm-hmm. and you work backwards from that. So you take that item, you work it into the mid-level thing that they're trying to sell, and then you work it all the way down to the freebie. So for example, I've got a business coach up in New York, and they sell public speaking courses, if you will.
So they teach other people how to do public speaking.
They teach other people how to get up in front of stages and to, right. to, you know, rake in the money. And as of recent, they've gone after teaching people how to make an impact and using, you know, what they do from their passion and turn that into money for their business.
Okay, so then you start with that. So they have this content. Do you help create kind of a actual product for this, or is it?
Sure. So depending on the client, we can assist them in the strategy behind packaging up their products and services. Mm-hmm. Really, what our skills our skill set with Digital Envy is taking whatever package or product they have and getting it out there on the internet.
So your sweet spot is the amplification of their message rather than maybe the creating of whatever their thing is. You could probably help them in that regard.
We can definitely give them some strategy and advice, but usually we prefer to work with teams that have at least 2 to 10 people in the business.
So they're already doing it.
Exactly.
They just need to do it better.
That's right.
So now, do you have any kind of advice for a person maybe that isn't ready to hire you but could use some help?
Yeah, sure. I think anyone who is in the industry right now and they're trying to develop their sweet spot, their target market is to get more specific. I think there's a lot of fear around, people want to serve everyone, but not everyone is Apple. Not everyone is Samsung. So what you should really do is think about those one or two clients that you have are just the best clients to work with. And those are probably going to be your avatar. And what you can do is just create all of your marketing based on that person. This could be a 45-year-old female who's based up in Sandy Springs, who, is looking to leave corporate at some point and start her own thing. If that's who you're going after, then name that person, create that person if they don't exist already, and just do it. Don't be afraid. Just do it.
And then you mentioned fear. Is it because they think they're going to miss out on other, about the guy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you look at... you look at a lot of artists out there, I think a lot of artists want to be known as one specific thing. You don't see a lot of rappers going in doing country music, a lot of country artists doing vice versa.
They'll be a featured artist in a country song later on in their career.
Well, exactly, but only after a certain amount of time where they've completely dominated that genre, Once you've dominated that area, that realm, then you definitely can get to that point where you can start to expand out.
So you should focus at first on a niche and kind of own that and then expand out from there.
Absolutely. And once again, don't be afraid to do it. You'll find after doing 3 months of that more progress than running around like a, chicken with your head cut off.
So how does the whole sales and marketing thing work for you? Is it a little bit like the cobbler's kid's head? Are you eating your own cooking and doing some of these same things so that you get to have this kind of conversation with a prospective client? Or?
Sure. So, a little bit of both. I say this, it was my birthday this weekend, and I was actually quoted in a Forbes article from a friend of mine. He wrote it. I was looking at my website, and I was like, man, there's some errors on here. I got to take care of this thing. So, once again, it was my birthday weekend. So I didn't spend the time I should have fixing some things up. But I think for me, it's just keeping it simple. People know what I do now. They know that I do strategy and pay-per-click advertising for businesses and financial, medical, and business coaches.
Mm-hmm. And then do you specialize in Facebook? You mentioned that before, or that's just one tool?
I would say Facebook is about 80% of what we do with clients right now. I was, I'll call it a beta user with Facebook. Back in the day when Facebook was only allowed for college students, I was using it at SCAD. I was sitting there writing. I swear to you, I was writing Mark Zuckerberg every day. I was trying to email him, get him to get Facebook for SCAD. And lo and behold, it happened.
Bam. Because of you. Digital Envy. That's why it's called Digital Envy. So now, if somebody wanted to learn more or they have, maybe they're a business coach with a need, where can they go to learn more?
Yeah, you can go to my website at digitalenvy.co. Or you can check out a little bit more. I actually do a little bit of an interview series on digitalchatter.tv.
And that's a video-based
it's a video
conversation.
Based, yeah. So, speaking of the cobbler's shoes, I realized I needed to create more content. I help my clients create content, so I need to create content. Mm-hmm. So I started interviewing some other entrepreneurs and creating my own content there.
Good. Pretty fun, huh? Beats the heck out of work and interviewing other people?
Yeah,
it's been our experience.
It's nice. It's always fun interviewing other people. You learn a lot of great things.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us and keep up the good work, both with the producing and broadcasting that you're doing and out there with the digital marketing. Can you hang with us for a little bit? We're going to visit with another guest.
Heck yeah. Sounds good.
All right. Up next on Atlanta Business Radio, we have a gentleman who is a Smoothie King franchise owner. He's here to talk to us. I want to learn more about Smoothie King, but also he's here to talk to us about Smoothie King's First Responders Initiative. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Mr. J.J. Johnson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Before we dive into some of those questions around your work and Smoothie King's First Responders Initiative, what'd you learn in that last segment?
STEM. Or STEAM.
STEAM, there you go. That's right.
And the reason why, I got a buddy of mine who was, and I was going to make sure I hook you up with him. He's in the Navy. He's in the Navy, and he's been doing the Navy at 20 years, but now that's what he does in Atlanta. He's stationed here, and that's what he does as his, that's a cool little job, but that's what he does for the Navy, is go around to different schools and teaching kids that STEAM or that STEM. That's what he, that's his whole deal in Atlanta. Wow. He covers Atlanta, I think, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, that whole area. That's what he does on the weekly basis. So I want to make sure y'all can maybe link up.
So now, JJ, you don't have the traditional entrepreneur's journey, but you have an interesting story. Can you talk about your backstory a little bit and how you got into eventually owning this Smoothie King?
Crazy. No. Well, what happened was about 5 years ago or so, you know, every man's crazy and follows a woman. It's kind of what happens. You follow the woman. And so what happened, my wife got recruited. We lived in Houston, and so my wife got recruited to Rome, Georgia, for her job. Mm-hmm. And I live by the golden rule. He who has the gold rules. So she rules, and so she basically said,
guess what? Guess we're moving.
We're moving to Rome, Georgia. Well, first she said Rome, and I said, oh, hell, Rome?
I'm
and
in.
She was like, no, Rome, Georgia. What? So that's kind of how it started, should I say. We moved to Rome, Georgia, and then I basically didn't have a job now at the time, and so I had to figure out,
what are you going to do?
What am I going to do now? And so that's kind of, on the quick basis, that's kind of how Smoothie King came about.
So now, were you thinking of a franchise? Was that your first inclination when you moved here?
No. When I had no idea, to be honest. When
blank slate.
It was a blank slate. I wanted to make sure I supported my wife and her, her endeavors. And so I just said I would, I'll find something. That's right. Basically what happened. I said, I'll find something, something to come up. I trust the good Lord. We'll make a way some kind of way. So
but did you look for a job? Like what were your kind of
first
the choices you were going down?
First, I said I was going to take a year off, which I did, and kind of travel a little bit. I was a little homesick, so I probably flew back to Houston every month, probably. But anyway, first, I was introduced to some insurance. I think it was something. Then I thought about vending machines or something. And then
all your friends came out of the woodwork, right, to give you advice?
Yeah, you know how that goes. And so at the time, I was real big in CrossFit. So I was always working out. And
so I opened up CrossFit.
I thought about that. Well, I said, but I'm not that good at CrossFit. So I said, I was big and it doesn't mean I'm good at it. I was just going every day. You needed something to do. So anyway, at any rate.
But you've been into wellness and working out and stuff like that?
Yeah, I wasn't. Before I left, well, honestly, I got into it maybe a couple of years before I left Houston, the police department. Before I left that, I got into it. I started CrossFit then, and then mm-hmm. It kind of just carried over when I got to Rome.
Right.
That's kind of how it happened. And
so when you were deciding about, maybe I'll do a franchise, did you look at other franchises?
No, we were, my wife and I were actually laying in bed one night, and it was like a light bulb or something. We both just said, a Smoothie King would be great here.
Oh, there was not.
There isn't one there. Uh-huh. There were at the time, there wasn't that one there. So we both said, man, a Smoothie King would be great here. That's the first thing we said.
Because in Houston, you probably had access to.
We had a bunch of them in Houston.
Right.
And so we were like, she was like, that'd be great. And that's kind of where we left it at.
Right.
And I went to sleep. Unknown to me, she had got online and sent in my information, my email. I think she was saying, he need to get a job. He need to get a job. So anyway, she sent in my information, and maybe about later, maybe I get an email saying that Smoothie King was interested in talking to me and putting one in that market. Uh-huh. And that's kind of how the ball got rolling.
And then, so then you check them out. They checked you out.
Yeah, they do research. They make sure, you know, make sure you got some money or something. They ain't gonna just give it to you. Make sure you got, you know, and your background and, you know, everything about you. Basically, interview and research you and background check the whole nine and make sure you're good to go.
Now, was there any kind of advantage for you being that you were in the military and then you were in the police force?
I think for me, the reason why, I guess a franchise, some people always say, why you just don't open your own
smoothie
or open,
you know,
your
JJ's
own
smoothie
right,
bar.
JJ's smoothie bar or something.
Right.
And I think for me, it's kind of like, you know, high school was ROTC, and then it was the Marine Corps, and then it was policemen. So I was always in that, I guess, semi-military trained, basically, here are the rules. Mm-hmm. This is what you need to do.
But you excelled in that environment
right.
everywhere
that,
you went.
That so. Works for me. Right. right. I tell my wife, you just tell me what to do, I'll do it. Just leave me a note, tell me what to do, I'll do it. So I guess the franchise deal was, it was already a set of rules. It was already an operating system. It was already a system in place that all I had to do was capitalize on and follow.
Right.
And that works best for me. So that's kind of reason my first goal was a franchise. And Smoothie King's because I grew up on it in Houston.
Right.
I always loved
it. You're already
it.
A fan.
Yeah, I already knew it. I loved the product. I thought it was great.
Right.
And so that was one reason. Thought it was great. Great system. And then plus we didn't have one there. So I thought.
This made sense.
It just made sense to me.
Now, how has it been? You've been doing it for a while now.
We've been open 8 months. It's up and down. Like any business.
Right.
But it's good. I can't complain. I've learned. I went to college for business. Went to school and got a master's for business. And I probably have learned more
in this
about business these 8 months than I've learned in the gonna grad and grad.
It's funny how that works when you're the one writing the check for payroll.
Oh,
huh?
You learn you have more bills than you thought and you didn't know that, you know, we don't have any kids yet. And so now I call them.
You got new kids.
I call them my kids. So I got 11 kids that work for me. And I always call them my kids. And they literally, you just don't ever know with them.
How's that military background working when you were dealing with these young kids?
Well, it's teaching me patience. I tell you that. I'm really learning patience because, you know, you go from the military and you go to cop and you kind of tell a kid what to do. And they kind of got to do it.
Right.
And now you don't have that authority. And I ain't doing, you know.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. So you're learning patience, but learning how to manage people is, I think, a great skill, not just for a job. I just think in general, being able to learn patience and learn how to manage people, I think is a great skill. So for whatever my next endeavor is, I think this is certainly a good learning program, good learning.
Now, have you kind of figured out how to motivate the younger generation here?
Oh, you got to.
You learn some. How about some tips?
You got to give them something. You got to, you know, give them some money.
Money's good.
They always like money.
In the military, money isn't that big of a motivator.
Now,
you got to have a bigger why, don't you?
No, in the military, they just tell you what the motivator is. You don't want to go to jail. Or you don't want to do 1,000 push-ups or something.
Have you tried the push-ups then?
No, that doesn't work. they laugh, so that doesn't really work. And I'm not a very mean guy, so I'm kind of, you know, it's not like I'm 7 feet tall. I might feel like it, you know, but I'm really not. So I just, you give them money, you try to give them incentive, you try to talk to them, try to encourage them. But the most thing is, if you treat them right, usually, you know, I buy them pizza here and there and there, you know.
They appreciate that.
Yeah, they like stuff like that. And so, and I try to give them a little freedom, make them feel like they make decisions.
Right, some autonomy.
Within the business. You know, what do you think this should go on the shelf? Now, I know where I wanted to go, but
exactly.
I like to include them so they feel like they're part of the team.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Smoothie King's got this first responders initiative. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. What Smoothie King is doing, they're trying to push veterans, not only veterans, but first responders like MLANs, you know, cops and et cetera, you know, who have 10 years or plus, you know, or are retired and they're looking for something.
Like the next chapter.
Yeah, the
right?
next chapter, you know, like something else they want to do. And so they're offering, I believe it's 20% off the franchise fee. Right.
Did you take advantage of that?
I did. So I got my 20% off. And it was good. You need
it. I'd rather have it. It's better in your pocket than theirs, right?
I'm telling you. So, no, that's really good. So I think it's a good deal for them to encourage, you know, because you have to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, depending, like, if you're in the military, when you were 18 and you retire in 20, you're only 38.
38 years old. What are you going to do now?
Right, what are you going to do? Or if you were, you know, where I'm from in Houston, you could be a cop at 21 and you can retire at 20, but now you're 41. What are you, right. What are you going to do now for so the rest
what are
of
your
life?
What are your peers doing that are in that situation typically?
They're still cops. They stayed.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, they still stayed. I'm the one, they thought I was crazy. I'm the one took the crazy leap and jumped out and tried something. I always knew I was going to go in business, I thought.
Right, because you went through, you got all that education. Right.
I just assumed it would be after I retired.
Right.
But I got a monkey wrench turn or something
it's
in my drink.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah, so I took the chance. I don't know, maybe my wife put something in my drink. I don't know. Just kidding.
So now, you know, you've been doing 8 months now. I'm sure it doesn't, it's not like the police force in terms of an adrenaline rush periodically, but right. It's a lot safer probably.
Yeah.
And any, you know, looking back, pros and cons of this decision?
Pros, I think it's right as now it's a good decision. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just get what you want when you want it.
And right.
So it is teaching you how to learn how to navigate through business. I think it's teaching you how to navigate with people. I do think that my time as a cop taught me how to talk to people, because even when I was a cop, I believe that you can get a lot more done talking to people than throwing your weight around or throwing your power around. And so I used that skill over the years. I've mm-hmm. talked myself out of a lot of stuff as a cop. I talked myself out of a lot of stuff. And so I use that same skill here at work. And so I'm enjoying it. Because, again, it's something new. It's something I've never done before. And I believe that it was a great decision. I think it was one of my scariest decisions.
Right.
But, you know, in general, I tell my wife this all the time. Usually my scariest decisions that I am terrified to do are usually my best decisions.
In the long run.
So it usually works out that way.
Now, is there anything that you took from your kind of work as a policeman to, like, your work in Smoothie King? Is there a way that you work with the community and kind of get involved?
Yeah, I believe in public service. You know, I serve my community as a cop, again, the country as a Marine. And so now I do the same thing. So there are plenty of times when I will, you know, go to the, take smoothies to just events. You know, I might hear something other. Not recently, they had a Walk with the Doc event, mm-hmm. where they try to get people to come out and walk with the doctor and talk with the doctors about health. And so
right.
I just showed up and brought smoothies for people who wanted free smoothies. I'll take them to the boys. I've taken them to the boys' home and the girls' home.
Wow.
I've taken them to the shelters. I mean, nothing to be braggadocious about that. It's just that's just what I've always done. You know,
and this is a good vehicle to do that. I mean, everybody loves smoothies.
Yeah, so I think it's good. I mean, it works too. It gets the brand out there.
Right.
But two, I just think that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to give back. You know, you're supposed to give.
Right.
Mama said you can't beat God's giving. So no matter how hard you try, so just keep on giving.
Yeah, that's right.
So I just keep on giving. I think in the end, it'll return. You know, you'll get it back. But I just think you're supposed to give. That's just, I wouldn't know any other way other mm-hmm. than, you know, trying to give or give back. It would, if I couldn't do it that way, then it really wouldn't excite me. You know what I'm saying?
Now, is there anything happening at Smoothie King that you're excited about? Any new flavors or any new products?
We got a new, we do have 3 new smoothies coming out for the summer next month don't quote me on no date. I know it's next month. I think it's a dragon fruit smoothie. I think it's a green tea lemonade smoothie, and I think there's a watermelon hydration one that is coming out next month. This month, we had a new mango where we were using whole fresh mangoes wow. in our smoothies. That one's pretty good.
What's your go-to smoothie for you?
Right now, I'm tossed. I'll take the mango Greek yogurt, mango peach.
So you get the protein and you get the flavors of mango.
So I'll go with that one, or I'll go with the apple, kiwi, kale, and I'll add strawberries. That's been my thing right now.
Is that like you do that as a meal replacement?
Yeah, I do that in the morning time usually. In the morning when I get to work or lunch, somewhere in there, I put it in there because I live at my store. You know, since it's new. So I haven't worked out in 8 months, and people say, well,
really?
How are you maintaining? I say, I live off smoothies. So they do work. They work.
So now, any advice for maybe that first responder that's thinking about that second act on, you know, that maybe consider doing a franchise or taking the leap to a Smoothie King?
First, take a leap. Take the chance. But I would definitely say do your research. And if it's, you know, I'm always a proponent of doing business that works for you. So with that being said, I definitely think Smoothie King is a great brand. But make sure that you find the brand.
Right. Like,
that
if you, like burgers and french fries, right, maybe you should.
Don't do smoothies. Right. Don't do smoothies. That's not what you like. And make sure you know what works for you.
Right.
You know, if you want, you know, if you like smoothies, then certainly go with Smoothie King. But if you like fried fish, then you might want to go find a catfish brand. But right, I would say take the chance. Make sure that you count up financially, because you will read that every store is doing this, and that may not, that's an average. So you could be above that average or you could be below that average. So you want to make sure that you are financially saved, or you have a right spouse or someone that
right
can pay
this
bills.
It's not an ATM machine where it just right throws off money like magic.
You
right
don't just open and do, you know, a million, 2 million. That's not, you know, some people that happens. That's an anomaly.
Right.
So you want to make sure that you take the chance in knowing that you may not get a salary right or you may not make money for a while. And you have to be okay with that. And if you're okay with that financially, then I say take the chance, because in the end, it certainly will pay off. But you right just got to make sure you know that.
So it's harder maybe than you anticipated? A little bit?
It's a little bit. It was to be honest, and I'll say this, I thought Smoothie King, it got over 800 and some stores.
Right. They're
nationwide.
All over.
They're all over.
Right.
And then, so I opened Rome. No one had, you know, when I got to Rome, I'm thinking, I studied the market. I said, the people are here, the gyms are here, the hospitals right are here. Ah, who doesn't know about Smoothie King? It's 1 40-hour away mm-hmm from me, you know. So, and they're all in Atlanta, Tennessee, Alabama,
right,
and I'm in the middle. I said, of course, mm-hmm, everyone knows about Smoothie King. I opened and I was like,
when's everybody getting here?
Hey, they on vacation? Where is everyone? Did someone leave or something? Are we in heaven? What happened? Did Jesus? I don't know what happened. And it was, and so people did not know. And so I encourage people that don't just automatically assume like I did that everybody knows the right brand. You better certainly take it. They may or they may not. In my market, I think about, it was a 70-30. 30% knew the brand.
Wow.
About 70.
So you had
didn't
some work to do.
And so I continually now have to do a lot on educating the consumer about the brand,
right,
getting the brand. So it's essentially, even though I opened a franchise with a brand name, it's almost essentially that I'm building the brand itself
right
in my market. And so you have to make sure that if that could happen. And whatever decision you make and whatever brand you decide
right
to go with.
But
so
you are, I mean, that worked with you because you like to be immersed in the community and serve the community.
Yeah.
So that kind of.
It worked out. I probably wear a Smoothie King shirt everywhere I go. I go to the grocery store, I go to movies,
right,
I probably have a Smoothie King shirt. But yeah, you have to really get out there and push the brand, because
right
they didn't know. I still get people in now saying, I never heard of you. What is this?
Right.
I don't, you know. So I'm still spending a lot
educating
of time educating the
right
consumer. Yeah.
Okay. So now, if somebody wanted to learn more, the Smoothie King in Rome is JJ Johnson's. And where in Rome are you?
I'm at, there's only one.
There's only one.
You go to Rome, there's only one.
Just,
we're at 832 Turner McCall Boulevard. Mm-hmm. That's Rome, Georgia, 30161.
Does the baseball help you, the minor league baseball team there?
They come by. I'm over there dropping out smoothies over there too. But yeah, you know, it's just getting the word out.
Right.
That's all. And now I can say, from where we were in October
8 months
to
ago
where we are now, we're doing exceptionally well.
Considering now you're
we can
on
do
the
better
upswing.
So I'm still just rolling with the punches.
Good.
Having
stuff
fun doing it, but I'm just rolling with the punches.
Good stuff. And then, is there a website or Facebook page for you guys?
Smoothie King, on Facebook is at Smoothie King Rome.
Uh-huh.
And same thing on Instagram is Smoothie King Rome on Instagram as well.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I can do this all the time. Y'all, hi, what's up? No, just kidding. I had a great time.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Eric, with DigitalEnvy.com. Co. And this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.